Thank you for being here this morning. How many of you have ever prayed and wondered whether or not your prayer had been answered by God? Or whether or not that God actually heard your prayer? Well, I hope you're here tonight at 6 o'clock because the lesson is simply entitled, Delay is Not Denial. And I hope that you'll be here this evening. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about aspirations for a better life. You know, Christ came into the world to give us a grand and glorious aspiration for a better life. I'm so thankful today to be able to be in the presence of God and the presence of His church family, aspiring to go to heaven. I hope that is your grand and greatest aspiration. Maybe you've lost a job, you've had a broken relationship, could have been any number of things. But you know what? It's not too late to develop a better life and to really start over in your walk maybe with God. And maybe it's a walk for the first time. Well, I believe that all of us need to improve our lives. I don't think there's an individual living, I don't think there's one here, that could not stand a little improvement in your life. And the way that we go about doing that is, first of all, raising our aspirations, thinking about a greater plateau. You and I need to have, as someone called it, a mountaintop experience in our life. And we should aspire to inspire before we expire. One of these days, you are going to expire. You will draw your last breath. You will find that your heart will beat for the last time. But we must be people that aspire to inspire other people. There are three bedrock aspirations for growth spiritually, and I want to talk to you a little bit about those this morning. You know, one of the great aspirations that all of us ought to have is to be balanced. We know what life is like when we are out of balance. Then maybe we're spending too much time here, or maybe spending a little bit too much time here, or we're expending a little bit too much effort in one area or another. And oftentimes we do that to the neglect of spiritual truth. We have to be very careful to avoid the extremes. And what I mean by that is being legalistic or being liberal. Now, we have a lot of people that are legalistic, that is, they want to go beyond what the Bible teaches. They want to do more than what the Bible actually teaches in terms of following Christ in a spiritual way. And then there are those that we refer to as liberals who want to go beyond what the Bible says. John says, he that goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. God doesn't expect us to be one extreme or the other. He doesn't. But I am convinced that there are some things in life that we fail to do. Many of us fail to plan to do greater things in the kingdom of God. I don't know how many of you have ever been on a diet. Maybe you have. Maybe some of you are on a diet even as we speak. But you know what? We ought to eat a balanced diet every day. We hear so much about that, do we not? God teaches us that we are to eat moderately, that we're not to be gluttons. The Bible says it's better for a man to put a knife to his throat than it is for him to be a glutton. There are five colors of foods that we ought to eat every day. And by the way, those five colors are not M&Ms. A lot of people think that. But you know what? We're also concerned, aren't we, when our tires are out of balance. You ever had a tire out of balance? The car just doesn't drive right. Why, you just go down the road bumping and things are not right. But we always want to make sure that the tires are balanced. There are so many ways that we should be living a balanced life. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, Solomon said, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." The integrity of the upright shall guide them, he says, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. In the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter in verse 27, the Bible says that Daniel spoke unto God's people and said, "You have been weighed on the scales, and you have been found not good enough, or you have been lacking, or you are out of balance," one translation says. But sometimes it's extremely difficult for us to be balanced in our life. It is. By the way, don't try that at home, especially if you're alone. Many of you have experienced this before. But if you stay, if you can't stay balanced, you've really got a problem. You've got an issue going on in your life that needs to be corrected. The book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 2 says that we are to be sober. And that word sober does not actually mean, being non-intoxicated. But it really means to be spiritually minded. He says to be sober, be grave, be temperate, sound in the faith, in charity and in patience. And let your moderation be known unto all men, the way that you live your life. For the Lord is at hand, Philippians 4 and verse 5. When Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, he wrote to a church much like this one. And he addressed a number of issues that were going on in the church. And he said, "I want to remind you about the Christian race or the Christian walk. Everyone who competes in the game of life goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last." How many of you saw the running of the Belmont Stakes yesterday? Did you see that? Well, they were running for a crown that will not last. You know why it won't last? Because they'll be running it again next year. But Paul says that we are to run for the crown that will last eternally, and that is the crown that Jesus spoke about in Revelation 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "But we are to be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate." That word temperate means to be in control, and it means to be in balance as well. The Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. They do not obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So live the balanced life. Someone has often said that success is the good fortune that comes from aspiration, desperation, perspiration, and inspiration. And you know what? We have to work at being the kind of people that God really wants us to be. But I'm going to tell you something. That's my aspiration. I want to do more for God. I want to spend more of my time serving my master. I want to use more of my effort to glorify my God who is in heaven. But then there's a second thing that we need to learn. When we think about aspiring to a better life, we have to be busy. Do you know there are a lot of people in life who are indolent? And what I mean by that is they are lazy. They're not busy because they're lazy. They don't really work. They don't energize themselves in serving God. But we have to be busy, all right, but busy doing the right thing. In the Old Testament, one of God's prophets were rebuked. And when they asked him why he was not busy, he says, "Oh, we were busy." But he says, "We were busy here and there." And in reality, it was an excuse, or it was a justification for not being busy about the right thing. A lot of times I call on people to do certain things in the church. And sometimes, "Well, you just don't know how busy I am." Oh, I know how busy you are. And I know how busy God was. I know how busy Jesus is. I know how busy people claim to be. But are you being busy about the right thing? Christ, in the book of John, the 9th chapter and verse 4, said that I must work the works of him that sent me, he says, while it's day, for the night comes when no man can work. Jesus taught a great principle here, didn't he? Oh, Jesus could have busied himself in doing a lot of things in life, but he busied himself with souls, with people that were lost. And that was the works of God. When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? Are you too busy? When was the last time you really said something evangelistic or did something evangelistic? You know, we all have people that we know that are not Christians. When was the last time you busied yourself in that way, talking to them about Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Oh, it's important for us to come together here and meet. But what about those that are not children of God? Do we just pass that off? We just say, well, that's not really important. No, it is important. And that was the mission of Christ. He says in Luke 19, I've come to seek and to save them that are lost. And if you go back to the words of King Solomon, he said, he that winneth souls is wise. When was the last time you busied yourself in that way? I know the demands of life. I'm going to tell you something. No one knows it better than me. I know you probably think all I do is preach on Sunday morning and that's it. But I'm telling you, folks, that's not truth. Every day I labor for the master that I love. And I'm not up here trying to pat myself on the back. I'm not up here trying to esteem myself. But I'm telling you, I have learned how to live a balanced life. And sometimes my balance goes a little bit more towards spiritual things than earthly. It does. But sometimes the demands of life are so great, and we have to go back and adjust our priorities and say, wait a minute, this is more important. This is more important. And if I were to ask you the question this morning, what is most important to you? What do you consider to be the very pinnacle of importance in your own life? What would you say this morning? You know, there would be a multiplicity of answers that would be given in this life. But the Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, again in verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is like a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. We get so busy at times, and at times we lose sight of what's going on. You know, I hear women say that all the time. Well, you know, you just need to be a housewife sometime. Well, maybe that's true. I know housewives work. A lot of times we discount that and we say, so a woman says, well, I really don't work. I'm not employed. Yes, you are. You work and you labor at home. And that is a commendable thing. It is a God-directed thing. It is something you ought to be doing. Not to neglect those things. But sometimes we become insanely busy with the wrong thing. And too oftentimes it is being busy doing nothing. Doing nothing of little consequence in life. You know what? I want to be busy doing things that God will remember when I stand before Him in the hour of judgment. That's what I want to be busy doing. It's not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about? In 1 Kings 20 and verse 40 again, the prophet says, well, I was just busy here and there. You listen to people talk. If you were to ask them, what are you busy doing? Well, I'm just busy here and there. What do you mean by that? When you say I'm busy here and there, you're talking about mundane things, little things, things of little consequence in life, if you really stop and think about it. In the book of John, the 4th chapter and 35, Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, to lift your eyes to the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. And so for those of us who say, well, I'd talk to someone about Jesus if I thought they really wanted to know. How do you know they don't want to know? How do you know they wouldn't listen to you if you don't talk to them, folks? Many churches die for lack of evangelism. You know what? As I said, we all have friends. We all have family members. There are acquaintances, people that we know. I enjoy talking to people about Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is important to me. I'm going to tell you, a man who saved my life is important to me. I will not neglect to tell someone about Christ. And we should not waste time. Sometimes we waste time. We do. You should relish your opportunities. as soon as they become available in life. Because one of these days they will be gone. And once they are gone, you can never, ever recoup them. You can't. Be balanced, be busy, but be your best. Now, that's so important. I told you, these are the aspirations that I have in life, and I think really they're worthy aspirations. I think they're aspirations that all of us ought to have. Be your best. You know, a lot of times people do the least. Most of the time, kids in school, you even listen to it, it's a mentality that's set sometimes when they're in school, grade school even. What do I have to do to get by? What do I have to do to pass? And I think sometimes people look at the judgment in the same way. What do I have to do to pass the judgment to get to go to heaven? Oh, I want to tell you something. I'm not just interested in getting by. I'm not just interested in being your average preacher. I'm not. Don't talk to me about average. I want to be my best at all times, folks. And I really believe that God has given us the ability to do our best. And when we do less, it is not acceptable in the sight of Almighty God. God always gives the increase. Have you ever thought about how blessed you are today? There's some people that are laying on hospital beds right now in this congregation. They've been there. Acquaintance that we know. Can't move. They're there. Have you ever thought about how blessed you are? We got a lot of folks in the nursing homes that love to be right here. And you're wondering when you're going to get out where you can go eat lunch. What really is important to you? Are you interested in doing your best, or are you just interested in doing enough to get by? Proverbs 20 and verse 4 deals with that mentality. For Solomon said, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing." What he is saying is that a lot of people are not going to give their best. They are lazy. They are slothful, and Paul addresses that in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 12. They're sluggards maybe at the job. They don't do their best. Maybe they feel like they're not being paid enough anyway, and so it's justifiable for me to be a louse. Maybe you feel like you haven't been blessed by God maybe as much as somebody else has, and so therefore that entitles you to do less in the kingdom of God. Maybe the reason you have less in the kingdom of God is because you're not blessing God with your best. And when you bless God, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And when you bless God, God blesses you. And he even challenged you in the book of Malachi chapter 3 to do that. If there is ever a message from the Word of God, it is this one. Do your best. Do your best in school. Do your best at the workplace. Do your best in the home to fulfill the role that God has given you. And do your best in the church of the living God. If God gave His best for the church must be the best in the eyes of our Maker. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Who gave Himself, that is Jesus, for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people." Here's the word right here. Here's the key word. Zealous of good works. How zealous are you? Do you give your best? Dwight was talking about worship a moment ago, David's class, and that's a great thing. I really appreciate that because worship is so important. On Sunday evening, about 6 o'clock, you know, we meet right here just like we're meeting this morning. I hope you'll think about this at 5 o'clock. Am I giving my best? When I sit home and the church is meeting down at the church house, and God is present, and Jesus is present. Well, I know he is, for he said in Matthew 18, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's here. He's here right now, and he's listening to every word I'm saying, and he's listening to every thought that's going through your mind right now. He's listening to you who say, why is that preacher bringing that up again? He heard that. When he heard you say in your mind, you know what? He's right. I need to be here at 6 o'clock tonight. He heard that too. And he'll be watching. But are you giving your best? Do you give your best when we announce about people that are ill and in the hospital? Do you give your best in terms of sending a card? Or writing a note? Maybe giving them a call? Or do you have the mentality that says, you know what? The church ought to do something about that. That's the attitude a lot of folks have. Is the church, you know who the church is? It's you. Me. We're the church. And we ought to be giving our best. And someone said that excellence is not a skill. You know, sometimes people think they're excellent doing what they do as a skill. No, it's an attitude that begins in your mind. That's why Galatians 4:18 says, but it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Christ in the book of Luke 9:62 said, unto a man, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's why God wants us to look forward, give our best. I'm going to tell you something. You've not given your best. I've not given my best. My best is still before me. I'm working to get there. Paul said one time, he said, I haven't apprehended that for which I've been apprehended, but I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Whatever your hand finds to do, you should do it with all of your might. You know what that means? It means use your energies. Have greater aspirations for the future than you have for the past. And you know what? If you really search, you'll find it. You will. There was an old lady one time who had been married for many, many years. And her husband died, and on his tombstone she put the following words. The light of my life has gone out. Soon afterward, she met and fell in love and married another man. After thinking about it for a while, she went to the monument maker and had him add this to the tombstone. The light of my life has gone out. But P.S., I found a match. You know what? You can find a match. You can find a way to live a better life. You can be balanced. Listen, you can be busy and you can do better. But there's one last one that I wanted to put on here. I said three, but there's one more that I wanted to add to this. I put three because I knew you thought, well, we're getting to the end of the sermon when he said three. But be blessed. You know what? When we are balanced and when we're busy, and I'm going to tell you something, when we're doing our best, we will be blessed. We will. God always gives that increase, and he blesses us over and over and over again. The Bible in the book of Psalm 67 and verse 6 says, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. We're getting ready to come into harvest. We are. Of seed that has been sown. And you know what? God's the one that blesses us. God would use the very thing that others thought would break you to build you and bless your life and make you stronger. So when they throw bricks at you, they're just laying the foundation for your next blessing that will come from God. God not only wants to bless you, he wants you to bless other people through the way that you live your life. Be a blessing to people. Be a blessing. Because God, according to David in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12, surrounds and protects us with favor like a shield. You ever thought about that? How every day God is blessing you and around you, out in front of you, to the sides of you, behind you, God is blessing you with a shield. You know why you're still alive? The shield of God. The favor of God. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him. According to the book of Lamentation, that little book in the Old Testament, rarely ever quoted, verse 24 through 26. But He's good to them who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. The Bible says that we're to cast every care, not just a few of them, but every care, upon Him who cares for us. And you know what God reminds us in different ways every day? He does. We may not understand how blessed you are right now. But it's true. We're blessed of God. He sends them every day. But the Bible in Lamentations 3 again says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We sing a song about it, don't we? His mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. A lot of people say to other people when they're going through difficulty and problems, just keep calm. No, that's not the answer to it. You're fighting a battle, don't be calm. Change the world around you. Don't give up your aspirations. And that new life, by the way, begins in baptism. That's why we preach it. That's why we teach it. That's why Jesus Christ taught it. That's why the apostles taught it. And that's why it's so emphasized today. It begins at baptism. There is a spiritual connection between baptism, listen, and Christ. But the book of Romans chapter 6 says, therefore we are buried with Him, not in Him or to Him or from Him, but we are buried with Him, that is, connected to Him. We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should also walk in newness of life. New aspirations, folks. Every day the apostles went through one problem after another. You know what? They weren't calm. They were balanced. They were busy. They were giving their best, and you know what? They were blessed. I guess my question to all of us here today is, what are we waiting for? It's not enough just to have aspirations. You know what? In the Old Testament, David, King David, wanted to build what we now know was Solomon's temple. David wanted to do it, but God wouldn't allow him to do it. But you know what he did? But he, listen, it was God who kept him from doing that. But he made a statement to me that's so highly significant. Even though God wouldn't let him do it, he said, David, it is good that it was in your heart. Now, God's not going to keep us from reaching souls. He's not going to keep us from doing our best. If somebody keeps you from doing your best, it's not God. You better rethink it. I would hope that God would say to all of us, it's good that it's in your heart, and you implemented what I have asked you to do. You are busy. You are giving your best. Remember, you can't reach what is out in front of you until you let go of what is behind you. Too many of us have lost our aspirations because we're not looking ahead, we're looking behind. And we're talking about what we did and where we were. You know what? God wants you to start talking about where you're going, my aspiration, how I want to live a better life. I want the future to be much better than that which is behind me. And when we do, as I said, God blesses us. Will you let Him bless you this morning? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You want to be blessed of God? Come and acknowledge it. You want to walk out of this building the same old person that you were when you walked in? You can do that. You can leave unbalanced. You can be lazy. You can do less than your best. And you'll walk out unblessed. So that's a choice. Every one of us has to make a choice for self. Can't make it for anybody else. But you know what? You can make it for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I will resolve right here now before you that I will do better in days to come. The best to me is yet to come. It is. Write it down. Mark it. Let us stand and let us sing.